Good morning to all of you. The psalm for this morning is Psalm number 85, which we will read in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give deep thanks to you this morning for bringing us before your word and your promises, for bringing us even the words of the psalmist that assure us and remind us and encourage us to hear what God the Lord will speak. And that is why we have come this morning, to hear what it is that you have to speak, what it is that you have for us on this day And as individuals, whatever it is that we need to hear, Father, our hearts are hungry for that which you know is designed for that heart. Father, we give thanks for the blessings that carry along with us in this life and carry us in this life. Every blessing, small and large, Father, we thank you for the food and clothing and shelter that may seem so simple, but yet we understand that those are from your hand. And it is in our hearts to believe that we have not created these things, but rather you have given them to us by your love and by your grace. Father, we thank you for the blessings of heart that even bring us together this morning. The desire to gather in fellowship with your people, the desire to hear of eternal things rather than to hear of only things that are of earth. And Father, we ask this morning that you would bless each person in their journey in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Bless each one that is tentative or afraid, uncertain. Bless each one that is deep in thankfulness for the simplest of things that you have given. Bless those whose lives are a struggle in the natural sense, in the spiritual sense, that they would be given a reason to look up and a reason for hope, because the hope goes beyond this life and it goes to eternity. Father, be with the families, that they may be held together in love. Turn the hearts of the fathers and mothers to their children, and the children to the parents, that in love they might look at one another as a precious gift that they have been given for their journey in life, and that those precious gifts are always designed to help and intended to help. Father, we pray that this morning as we look into your word and into portions of your word where Jesus is speaking, that you would give us understanding, that it would be more than just an exercise in walking through the scripture, but rather that it would open our eyes and our hearts to what it is that you would have for us on this day. Be present by your Spirit with us and guide us and teach us and pick up our heads, our feeble knees, our hanging hands, so that we could rejoice together in your strength and grace and power. These things, Father, we ask in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the last number of weeks, I've been driving along down a lot of highways, and I have been thinking about leaven, the substance called leaven, L-E-A-V-E-N. I don't know why exactly I've been thinking about leaven so much. I haven't thought about it particularly before, but I have been really pondering this issue of leaven. As I've driven down the highway, I've also, at 114 degrees Fahrenheit, wondered when my van's going to blow up. But nonetheless, the subject of leaven has very much been on my heart. Leaven, as you know, is yeast. That would be our most common way of thinking about leaven. We think of yeast in bread, And what does it do? It doesn't make the bread. It causes the bread to rise. And leaven, from the word levitate or rise, is in all of its forms, it is designed to make something rise and become bigger. So leaven is interesting in that sense. And we know that the Israelites, when they left from Egypt, they left in such a hurry in the night to escape from the Egyptians that they had to take unleavened bread. There wasn't time for the leaven to work as it normally did overnight and make the bread rise. And so they fled with unleavened bread. And that is what gives rise to this day in the Passover Supper of the use of unleavened bread. And in Christian tradition also, in communion, we use unleavened bread. And it comes from that idea that there was not time for the leaven to work before the escape of the Israelites. There is also in Christian tradition the thought that unleavened means untainted in many senses. And I pray that today, as we consider this subject, that God would give us a sense of how it is possible to have the bread of life untainted by the leaven of the world. I would like to read from the 16th chapter of Matthew, a portion where Jesus warns about leaven. Beware. But in order to be complete, you might also look at Mark chapter 8, the 15th verse, and also Luke chapter 12, the first verse, because in those three places, he describes leaven that we should beware of. We will also come to a place where, interestingly, Jesus spoke of leaven as a good substance, a wonderful substance, not to beware of, but rather to embrace. And we will come to that a little bit later. But reading from the 16th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 5, in Jesus' name. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you yet not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Amen. And then just jumping to Mark, the 8th chapter, because in the Matthew portion it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now in Mark, he says in the same account, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees again, and of the leaven of Herod. So there's the leaven of Herod. And then in the 12th chapter of Luke, first verse, he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So there he describes among the three main areas in which he wishes to warn about leaven. There, with regard to the Pharisee, he talks about what that leaven is, and it is hypocrisy. He doesn't describe the others, but he warns against them, the leaven of the Sadducees and the leaven of Herod. And so it's clear that those three areas were very much in the heart of Jesus as he taught his disciples and wanted them to be aware and on guard against the leaven of those three areas. I think something like 17 times in the New Testament, leaven is spoken of badly. leaven is warned against in some of the epistles and elsewhere in the Gospels. But the three main areas that Jesus warned about were the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod. What's interesting about leaven, and I pray as we consider this for our own hearts, is that it doesn't work instantly. The yeast that you put into bread has to take time in order to make the bread rise. It doesn't just puff up instantly. There's quick yeast. I'm no baker. Quick yeast happens fast, and regular yeast happens slow, and that's about all I know. But I do know it takes time. And therefore, there's a lesson there that says that any kind of leaven will make something rise, but it also takes time. And I pray that when we consider the bad leaven that Jesus warns against, that we would remember that it is important not to give residence time in our hearts to that kind of leaven, the three especially that Jesus talks about there. Jesus was with the disciples, and they had forgotten in their weakness to take bread for the journey across the Sea of Galilee. And that's when Jesus, you know, tells them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And immediately they turned it on to themselves in their guilt and said, oh no, he's talking about bread. He's talking about leaven because we have forgotten to take bread. And it's interesting that Jesus had to describe to them and said, I'm not talking about bread. Don't you remember that we have all kinds of ways at our disposal in which to provide bread? Don't you remember that we fed the 5,000 and took up many baskets from the two loaves, or the five loaves in this case? And then seven loaves fed 4,000, and there were baskets left over. He said, I am not speaking to you about bread. I'm not speaking to you about your failure to take some for our trip. But I'm talking to you about what is in bread, what can be in bread. And I wish that you would know that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and Herod. And then they understood that he was not speaking about bread or the leaven of natural bread, but rather the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So if we look at these, maybe we'll start with the one that's closest to the flesh and easiest to identify, and that is the leaven of Herod. What is the leaven of Herod? King Herod was not a Roman king. He was a Jewish king, and he was over Israel at the time of Jesus' birth. And we know what kind of a religious king he was. He was a corrupt religious king. And his thing, if you look at his birthday party that resulted in the head of John the Baptist being cut off, we know that his thing was fleshly pleasure and enjoyment. And that's why, maybe of all the three types of leaven, it's the easiest to identify. It's pleasures of the flesh while trying to hang on to the office of the religious. As he was the Jewish king and perceived himself to be over all the Jews, which he was in Jerusalem, nonetheless, his heart was given over to fleshly pleasure. And we know that the birthday party that he threw, where Salome came in and danced before him and pleased him so much that in his reveling, he promised anything to her at all, whatever she asked, up to half of the kingdom. And of course, Salome's mother hated John the Baptist because he had spoken against Herod having taken his brother's wife, Salome's mother. And so after the girl consults with her mother, the mother decides that you should not ask for half the kingdom, but rather you should ask for the head of John the Baptist. That tells you something about how deep hatred can go. That tells you that even, I'm sure she was a greedy woman. I'm sure a lot of things about Salome's mother. And no doubt half of the kingdom of Herod would have been an enormous windfall for her and her daughter. And you think she forsook that in order to have one other thing that her hatred drove her to need, and that was the head of John the Baptist, who had pricked her heart with the truth that he spoke, the powerful word of truth that he spoke. And I have sometimes been frustrated thinking about John the Baptist and how his life came to an end because it was so short. And for such a meaningless reason as anger and hatred, he lost his head. You would think that this marvelous forerunner of Christ, the voice crying in the wilderness, his death would have been for something more important than the hatred of a woman. But nonetheless, that was what she asked for. And we know that Herod was exceedingly sorry to hear that request, which tells us that he still knew about the office that he held, and he still knew about God. But because of his oath and because of all of his friends and because of his pride, he followed through, and we know the outcome from that. And so the leaven of Herod rides and resides in the heart when someone wishes to be considered religious or even a religious leader, but yet is thoroughly taken by the pleasures of the flesh and also the pride of life and also the admiration of people that collect around him or her. That is the leaven of Herod. Beware of the leaven of Herod. What about the Sadducees? What was the issue there? They were a high-class people between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees occupied the highest positions in the Jewish government, the Sanhedrin court, and so on, mostly populated by the Sadducees. They were very much taken by their position in the church, their position in the religious kingdom, and they coveted and wished for high positions in the church. Two problems with the leaven of the Sadducees. One was that there seemed to be a lack of hunger for the teaching of God and God's word. And there is a sign also for our times. If there is someone who wishes to appear to be religious and yet has no hunger for the word of God, the truth of God, the teachings of God, the spirit of God, but rather only has hunger for appearance in the church, appearance of authority, appearance of leadership, that would be one of the parts of the leaven of the Sadducees. And then, of course, perhaps the most tragic one is that they did not believe in the resurrection. And so there is also a leaven that would war against the good seed of God's word, that says, you know what, there's no point to all of this because there is no afterlife. There is no resurrection. When you're gone, you're gone. And there are people throughout the world that try to comfort themselves with that thought that when I die, I die. When it's over, it's over. And the chapter closes and it's the end. And nothing to worry about in the afterlife, and try to block off any idea that there will be a judgment, that there will be a heaven and hell, that there will be an eternal living somewhere. And the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they tempted Jesus with that question. If a woman had seven husbands, what in the world are they going to do in the resurrection when they're all there? And Jesus knew better than to fall prey to the bait of that question. But they were asking him a question about something they didn't even believe, and that is that there is a resurrection. And so if anyone ever tries to discourage you with this idea that maybe it's all pointless, maybe there's really nothing at the end, oh God, may God help you to understand and to say there is a crown waiting at the end, a crown of everlasting life, a crown of heaven, a crown that has been prepared for me, a place that has been prepared for me. He's made for me a place and a way to get there. And never allow the leaven of the Sadducees that says the journey of the Christian is just not worth it, because Satan will often bring that to you and to me and say it's not worth it. But the Sadducees' leaven would have said it's really, in the end, it's just not worth it. So therefore, our positions here on earth are what count the most, even in the church. And then we come to the leaven of the Pharisees, which Jesus identifies as hypocrisy. It's interesting. That is perhaps the most subtle one, and maybe it's well that it's the last one we will consider, other than when Jesus speaks of good leaven, like the kingdom of heaven. What do you do about hypocrisy? Are we all hypocrites in some way? What is a hypocrite? In ancient Greek, a hypocrite was an actor in a play. They were called hypocrites. Why? Because they were playing and acting to be someone that they really were not. That's really the definition of an actor, isn't it? They are playing a part that does not really belong to them. And so they are a hypocrite. They are not what they appear to be. They appear to be something, and they are really something else. The Pharisees, as we know, came in for the most criticism from Jesus. It was the Pharisees that Jesus upbraided and criticized and spoke against more than anything. And I think it was because their leaven was so subtle. Their leaven is so subtle. Hypocrisy never rides very far from any one of us. It is never so that we are miles and miles from appearing to be something that we're not. And sometimes we can put on a front, we can put on a face, we can act in a play of life to be someone we really aren't. And Jesus warned against this and said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." My prayer for myself and for each of you is, oh God, do not allow the leaven of hypocrisy to rise within me so that I become someone I'm not. Because leaven keeps rising and rising. And so if the leaven of hypocrisy is allowed to reside in the heart of the Christian, it isn't so that they will just be a hypocrite in a small way, but perhaps in larger and larger ways until they're really not a real person that appears before the world. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. May God keep and preserve our hearts from hypocrisy. Make our external to be that which is internal. Make it so, Heavenly Father, that the good seed of your word that you've planted within us and grown in our hearts might be that which shows on the outside. May it be, Father, that we never take credit for the goodness that is all yours, and begin to act as though it is us, we are the good ones, and begin to attract accolades for how good we are, but rather reflect immediately the praise even of men to the glory of God. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisee, which is hypocrisy. And then just to finish off, Jesus did not criticize all leaven. In fact, if you look back, it's in a couple of the Gospels, but if we look back to the 13th chapter of Matthew, notice what Jesus says in the 33rd verse after the mustard seed parable, the tiny little mustard seed parable. He's telling a number of parables. But it says, "In other parables spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." And so there is also good leaven. And Jesus says, this is how the kingdom of heaven, this is what it is like. It is like leaven that causes to rise, in this case, three measures of bread or of meal. It causes it to rise. The good leaven of the Holy Spirit of God, the pure truth of the Word, is that leaven that will cause the bread to rise, and it will rise up, and it will grow. And my prayer is that in my own heart, that would be the only leaven that would reside there. The leaven that is spoken of by Jesus as being like the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of heaven being like it, that it is hid in three measures of meal, a small amount in three measures of meal. And I'm sure there's a spiritual picture there in the three measures. But until the whole was leavened. That's the nature of leaven. It affects the whole lump. It affects the whole thing. Bad leaven, allowed to reside in the heart of leaven of Herod or the Sadducees or the Pharisees, it will infect the whole lump. It will cause to rise things that should not rise. It will cause the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, whatever it may be, to rise up and consume the entire thing. The leaven of the Spirit and the Word of God will also cause to rise and grow within the heart. We are encouraged to grow in grace. And how beautiful it is to think that that leaven residing in the heart will grow and grow and grow to the glory of God, but also to the joy of the one whose heart that is, you or me, that we could be filled with greater and greater joy in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of trials and difficulty, in the midst of frustrations, that it is possible, and with God's grace, it is certain that our hearts will grow and grow in joy and in peace and in love and in all of the things that God has intended for us. The psalm told us that mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have met together. They meet together in Christ, in our heart, where God's mercy is applied to our sinfulness. His righteousness is pure, and it lives in the heart because of Christ and in the form of Christ. That is the beauty of the Christian walk. That is the beauty in this life of the joy that comes from having the good leaven in the heart. And that is also the joy that leads us to understand that it is all worth it, because there is coming a day where eternity will begin. And eternity also is certain. But it is beautiful. It is precious. It is joyful to the Christian, because it is filled with the good things of God. And there is no more leaven that Jesus warned against, but it is only that which has brought us there, which is the good leaven, the good seed of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit to rise within us and cause the heart to be pure. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
I stand. just the name.